this time in the service, we would like to take just a minute to spend a moment in silence, summoning peace and strength for the loved ones of the Pulse nightclub victims. Our hearts go out to the many people who were affected by this tragedy. Today is Father's Day, a day in which we honor and offer gratitude for our fathers, however they're present in our lives. Biological, adoptive, foster and stepfathers, gay, straight, and single fathers, military dads, working dads, and stay-at-home dads, those who challenge traditional gender scripts, and those who embrace them. Grandfathers, uncles, brothers, and friends who, whether they know it or not, have helped to fill the role of father in our life. We are shaped by their presence and their absence, by how they choose to act and when they abstain, what they say and when they remain silent. Let us celebrate the impact that these people have on us as individuals and as a community. Let us also remember that this relationship is not one-sided and that we are called to support and empower the fathers of the world, no matter how they came into their roles. Let us raise up their triumphs and let us have the grace to forgive them their failures. Let us love our fathers and each other. Come, let us worship together. Please take a moment to say hello or to introduce yourself to the people around you here this morning.
Where is our chalice lighter? Gaia? Oh. Oh, Brianna, come on. Good going. When I was little, my dad used to say, "When you were but a twinkle in my eye." We light this chalice this morning for all the twinkles and all the twinklers who brought us into being. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing hymn number 1024 in the teal hymnal.
Thank you.
Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. At LCUUC, we work to surround this community with the spirit of love in everything we do. No matter who you are or where you have come from, you are welcome here. We welcome those who have known nothing but acceptance in their lives and those who have known the pain of exclusion. LCUUC is a UUA-recognized welcoming congregation, which means we welcome and affirm all people, queer, trans, straight, married, divorced, young, old. And a special welcome to all of you dads with us today. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in our social hall after the service and stop by the welcome table to find out more about us. Today's order of service shows upcoming church activities. We hope you'll join us. To stay current on services, events, and activities, please check our webpage at lcuuc.org and like and follow us on Facebook. Now, please take a moment to silence your electronics. And again, welcome. We are so glad that you have chosen to celebrate and worship here with us today.
Second, you can't remember where you are. Just open your window and follow your memories upstream to the meadow in the mountain where we counted every falling star. I believe a light that shines on you will shine on you forever. When I say forever, just echo it back, kind of forever, nice and light and high, and it sounds really neat. So here we go. I believe a light that shines on you will shine on you forever. There we go. And though I can't guarantee there's nothing scary hiding under your bed, stand guard like a postcard of a golden retriever, and never leave till I leave you with a sweet dream in your head. I'm gonna watch you shine, gonna watch you grow, gonna paint a sign so you'll always know. As long as one and one is two, there could never be a father loves his daughter more than I love. Trust your intuition, it's just like going fishing. You cast your line and you hope you get a bite. But you don't need to waste your time about the marketplace, try to help the human race struggling to survive its harshest night. I'm gonna watch you shine, gonna watch you grow, gonna paint a sign so you'll always know. As long as one and one is two, there could never be a father love whose daughter. I'm gonna watch you shine, gonna watch you grow, gonna paint a sign, so you'll always know, as long as one and one is two, there could never be a father loved his daughter more than I love you.
One of the ways we care for the wider community is by contributing to local food pantries, both financially and through the donation of non-perishable food items. And if you've brought some today, you can bring them forward now, or have a child bring them forward. And kids, come on up. We have a song for you today, and bring your parents with you if you like.
Trucks, slow-moving trains, and rain. I love little country streams, sleep without dreams, Sunday school in May, and hay. And I love you too. Pictures of my friends, birds of the world, and squirrels. I love coffee in a cup, little fuzzy pups, old TV shows, and snow. Smiles, kisses from a child, tomatoes on the vine, and onions. I love winners when they cry, losers when they try, music when it's good, and life. And
it's like a sparkler, isn't it? Whoops. May the light and love of our chalice guide you today and every day.
Brought her young son to the store so that he could buy his dad a Father's Day card. She showed him the cards for dads and encouraged him to choose one. The boy picked up one card after another, opening them up and quickly shoveling them back into the slots. "What are you doing?" his mother asked. "Haven't you found a nice card for Daddy yet?" "No," he replied. "I'm looking for the one with money in it." "And we're looking for the basket with money in it. The morning offering will now be given and received." Our thanks for these gifts given and received for the work of our community.
This is the time in our service where we share our joys and concerns. We do this in two ways, by speaking them out loud and by lighting candles. Would anyone who has a joy or a concern to share, please raise your hand and an usher will bring you the microphone.
Hi, this is Barb. Please light a candle of joy in remembrance for my father, Joseph. He's been gone 24 years. But I still hold him in my heart, and I think of him almost every day. And when I think of kindness and generosity and patience, that was my dad.
If you could light a candle of joy and thanks. My name is Helen, and I appreciate those who were able to help out the high school youth at the Panera Bread fundraiser. I'm not an empty nester yet, because I did launch my husband on Father's Day and my daughter, Nicole, this morning at 6 o'clock, and they are a third of the way on their way to freshman orientation in Washington, D.C. So.
This is Chris. Would you light a candle of joy for the fathers in my life? My dad, Art Hoffman, my son, Tim, my son-in-law, Joel. After my dad died, and it was about 25 years ago, whenever we saw Cardinals, because he and my mom loved them, we always said, oh, there's Art and Marion. Well, just about 2 weeks ago, a little female laid 4 little cardinal eggs outside my son's home in a big bush, and 3 little cardinals just hatched this week. So we think this is for sure a sign.
I'm Janice, and a joy to see Mike Fort recognized yesterday at Lapham Peak for all his work there. There's a shelter at Homestead Hollow that's got a plaque with his name on it, and it was just a beautiful night, and nice to see someone who so deserves to be recognized be honored there.
And we light the last candle for those joys and sorrows which we hold deeply, but which have not been named here today.
Our first reading this morning is Dumbass Stuff We Need to Stop Saying to Dads by Ashley Miller, writer and mother. Recently, I got to chatting with a nice lady in the queue at the supermarket. As I loaded a giant bag of nappies onto the checkout conveyor, nice lady smiled at me. Kids, she asked with a grin. Yeah, a little boy. So who's got him now? He's home with his dad. Her grin widened. Oh, she said, giving me the look. Then she dropped the whammy. Let's hope everything is under control when you get home, chortle, chortle, wink, wink. It took all my strength not to dunk her over the head with a zucchini. Instead, I nodded breezily through gritted teeth. Then and there, it dawned on me. We have got to stop talking about dads like they're an inept accessory to parenting. I hear stuff like this all the time, and my husband hears it too. Like the time we were at the park and our son was dressed in mismatched shoes and a crappy old t-shirt. Looks like daddy dressed you today. Newsflash, I dressed him, and I did a terrible job. Is daddy on babysitting duty today? No, he's not a babysitter. He's a parent. He's outside playing in the backyard, smearing sunscreen onto a tiny nose and handling another epic, I don't want sunscreen, meltdown like a boss. He's sitting on the toilet with a small person staring at him through a crack in the door. He's making forts and train stations and racetracks. He'll spot a red rash behind my son's ear and then Google possibility of death with red rash behind ears. He will worry and think about our son all the time. He'll get everything wrong and right, then wrong and right again. He will argue with his partner, me, about whose turn it was to buy the pull-ups, and we'll both wonder why we ever got into this game. And then something great will happen. Joy. Hearts will fill up again. We'll read the same Peter Rabbit story 6 times in a row. He'll wrangle 4 squirming, kicking limbs into clean pajamas. He will sit beside his bed saying the 2 words he knows will help our son drift away. Daddy's here. On his way out, he'll look into the cot and think to himself, bloody hell, he's beautiful. And alongside all of this is me, doing exactly the same kind of stuff every day. Listen to the language we use about parents to know what we're supposed to think the score is. Watch how much pressure we put on the moms to be the natural-born carers, the ones with the instincts, the ones who know how to do it properly. It's easy to understand why we never hear the term working father. And it's easy to see why Facebook started a viral trend asking women around the world to share 5 reasons why I am so happy to be a mother. Nothing for the awesome dads. Nope. Because they're probably all scratching themselves watching football, right? Wrong. They're scratching themselves watching Teletubbies. Here ends the first reading.
Our Father's Day meditation is by Reverend Kirk Lobman Copeland. Let us praise those fathers who have striven to balance the demands of work, marriage, and children with an honest awareness of both joy and sacrifice. Let us praise those fathers who, lacking a good model for a father, have worked to become a good father. Let us praise those fathers who, by their own account, were not always there for their children, but who continue to offer those children, now grown, their love and support. Let us pray for those fathers who have been wounded by the neglect and hostility of their children. Let us praise those fathers who, despite divorce, have remained in their children's lives. Let us praise those fathers whose children are adopted and whose love and support has offered healing. Let us praise those fathers who, as stepfathers, freely chose the obligation of fatherhood and earned their stepchildren's love and respect. Let us praise those fathers who have lost a child to death and continue to hold the child in their heart. Let us praise those men who have no children but cherish the next generation as if they were their own. Let us praise those men who have fathered us in their role as mentors and guides. Let us praise those men about to become fathers. May they openly delight in their children. And let us praise those fathers who have died, but live on in our memory and whose love continues to nurture us.
Our second reading is an excerpt from the book by Jennifer Boylan, Stuck in the Middle with You, a memoir of parenting in 3 genders. Jenny Boylan is a transgender woman who had 2 sons with her wife, Dee Dee, before transitioning to the woman she has always felt she was. In this excerpt, she is recalling the trip to tour colleges with her oldest son. I thought a lot about my father on that trip. It was hard not to wonder about the many ways Zach resembled my own 17-year-old self. And if Zach was walking in my shoes, was I not walking in those of my father, vagina notwithstanding? Was I not, after all this time, still more of a father than a second mother to him? What was the difference? If you're a father, Edward Elby had said to me, it means you've had sex with a woman, your wife or not, and you impregnated her. I hadn't known how to respond to this. I'd sat in Edward's incredible loft, flabbergasted. You think that's what it means? Seriously? You never birthed those two kids, Edward replied. Isn't that a different quality of parenting? It is a different quality of parenting. But there's a lot more to parenting than birthing. Does it mean making, Edward had asked, or is it the being? I think it's the being. There was a time once when motherhood and fatherhood were states as simple to define as woman and man. But as the meanings of male and female have shifted from something firm and unwavering into something more versatile and inconstant, so too have the terms mother and father become more permeable and open-ended. I understand the reluctance many people have to embrace this thought, a world in which male and female are not fixed and unmoving poles, but points in a wide spectrum is a world that feels unsafe, unstable, unreal. And yet to accept the wondrous scope of gender is to affirm the vast potential of life in all its messy, unfathomable beauty. Surely, if we make room for the mutability of gender, we have to accept that motherhood and fatherhood themselves are no longer unalterable binaries either. Here ends the second reading. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing hymn 1012, When I Am Frightened.
Thank you.
In the 70 years since I was a little girl, a lot has happened to change fathering. When I was this little girl's age, it was pretty clear what being a dad was all about. Dads worked and supported the family. Dads drove the car. Dads painted the house and fixed stuff that broke. When I was naughty, Mother said, "Wait till your father gets home." Dad loved us. I have no doubt of that. But I never saw him fathering with the joy and abandon of this dad, or risking his dignity quite this much. Between then and now, mothers have gone to work. About half of families have two breadwinners, and only 26% have a providing father and a stay-at-home mother. With two working parents, fathering and mothering simply becomes parenting. Dads change diapers, moms fix faucets. Between then and now, the way we understand gender has shifted from binary to multifaceted. Trans parents show up in TV shows like Transparent and Orange is the New Black. They write books like Jenny Boylan's Stuck in the Middle with You. These real and fictional characters grapple with the complexity of gender roles and parenting roles. Jenny Boylan asks, "Am I a dad or a mom, or does it matter?" The result has been a loosening of gender role and parenting scripts. We see the effects of this so clearly in this advertisement. When I was the age of that little girl, we didn't have television. But even 10 years later, in the 1950s, when we got our black and white TV, it would have been inconceivable to have a manly man offer himself as a fairy. The loosening of the bindings of cultural stereotypes and gender role scripts has permitted dads to father in much fuller ways. When my godson, Jack, who is also a son to me, had his first child almost 19 years ago, he said to me with awe in his voice, "I have never been so in love as I am with this child." Journalist Ron Fourier recently published a book, Love That Boy, about his relationship with his son with Asperger's syndrome. Frank Bruni, New York Times columnist, in a review said, "I was struck by an additional theme, something between the lines. Fourier's narrative is about fatherhood, specifically fatherhood in the here and now. He examines his paternal feelings and failings with a nakedness that was rare in fathers of a previous generation. He wrestles soulfully with what kind of father he is and means to be. He weeps, he trembles, and he mirrors many of today's dads who are so changed from yesterday's. In Fourier, I saw my two brothers who don't adore their children any more than our father adored us, but who do it with a gentler, tenderer touch, unafraid to broach discussions and display emotions that most men once shrank from." Now, here's a story of a boy named Sam with two dads. Jody and Dennis are contractors in San Diego. They have been a committed couple since 2002. They were married in 2008 while there was still a marriage window open before Prop 8 passed. To their many friends and family, they were the gunkles, the gay uncles, because they were loving uncles to all the children. Around 2005, they had decided they wanted to have a child together. It was going to be a family affair, with a sister providing eggs and a family member on the other side serving as a gestational surrogate. But then the recession pulled the financial rug out. I was surprised to learn that in vitro fertilization is $10,000 to $15,000 a try, with several tries often necessary. A few more years passed, and the yearning to have a child together was still there. So they decided to go the adoption route. Let's let them tell the story.
Jody says, "We have wonderful friends who have adopted, and they have beautiful, wonderful children, and so we were like, we can do this. We decided to give it one more shot. And if it didn't work, it was fine. We agreed that we'd just grow old together and be gunkles forever, spoiling other people's kids. So we went into it with that understanding. That's when we heard a friend was pursuing adoption, and we shared with her that we were on the same path. She said, I found this great little nonprofit adoption agency in Northern California. Why don't you go with me? And so we did.
Dennis says, there's a small independent adoption facilitator with just two people running things. They're like the consider adoption wing of an independent women's health center. They just handle very carefully 10 to 12 placements a year. Surprisingly, when I called to do a phone interview with him, they said, this is great. We'll make an interview slot for you the same day.
It's two great ladies that run the operation, and we just sat there for hours talking. We were completely open to any situation, race, gender, etc. They said that was kind of rare for up there because it's a very conservative region, and everybody wants to have a certain type of baby, one that looks kind of like them. We weren't concerned with that. As we were getting ready to leave, I said, how do we fit into your program? You don't. We've never had a gay male couple before. We've had a lesbian couple, but never two males. So I said, okay, timing-wise, how long do we have to wait? They told us it would take about a year to become active in their system and at least a year to be paired up with a birth mother. That was in February of 2013. So we're like, okay, we have a year to 3 years to plan, save, and get ourselves ready. We received a call in March. They were asking if we could share our information and biography with a birth mother. But we learned that didn't pan out. The very next day, we were at work, and we got a call.
She said, how fast can you make it to Sacramento? A baby was born, and you are chosen.
So we stopped work, got on a plane at 5 p.m. that evening, and got up there around 8:30 on the day he was born.
When we got to the hospital, he was 14 hours old. The nurses had been the only ones with him. They made a room for us. They took care of us and put him in our arms, and we instantly fell in love. I said, how do you hold someone you've never met before, and instantly you'll do anything in the world for them? We got to spend that first night with him and brought him home after he was 48 hours old. While Jody continues to handle the daily operations of their construction company, Dennis has taken on the role of full-time dad. They are grateful for the amazing love and support of family, friends, and neighbors. Sam just recently turned 3 and had an amazing birthday party, and that's where you see him on the pony. He is being raised by a village rich in diversity and 2 doting dads. In the article from which we've been quoting, they give some advice which struck us as rich parenting wisdom.
A lot of people will have certain restrictions when approaching adoption. They'll say the mom can't have done alcohol or this drug or that activity. Well, we have family members that have biological children with autism. My brother and sister-in-law have twins. They're boys diagnosed at 18 months. They're now 11 years old, and while they had to switch gears, they've adapted their lives to the new reality. We recognize it's a roll of the dice, whether it's biological, adoptive, foster, or any other circumstances. So we felt really good about saying, we're not going to put any restrictions on our path and see where this goes, which really opened up the possibilities for a match.
As a footnote, you should know that both Jody and Dennis come from religiously conservative, I mean really conservative families, and that they, their marriage, and their son are warmly welcomed into their families. We can turn off the slideshow now and give some lights. We asked LCUUC fathers to tell us what fathering meant to them and how they fathered differently from how they had been fathered. Here are some responses.
Al Haskell says, "My father was an alcoholic, severe and demanding, a controlling perfectionist. Early on, I was challenged with similar behaviors. It has taken years to become different. With the strong influence of my wife, Karen, I am not him. I made my two children a priority over self and career so as to be engaged and involved. I made sure to be at almost all their events, school, music, sports, and spent time being there, focusing on being present and letting them be and become who they are. A memory? Upon the birth of Hillary, looking into her eyes for the first time, feeling truly awed and amazed at what I perceived as deep, deep knowledge and trust. I am a better human because of my daughters and my wife. Oh, and I recall the first time the boys showed up."
From John Kuhn, "My father really admired my mother and liked to make comparisons between the three of us children and themselves as the parents. The problem was he zeroed in on the favorable things between me and my mom, we're both easygoing, and negative things between my brother and himself, doing dumb things like he did as a boy. It came up enough that I think it damaged my brother's self-esteem. Didn't help the relationship between us at the time, although it's okay now. So as a father, raising our three children, making comparisons between the children is something that we try to stay far away from. Carol said our sons have told her they feel that they have never experienced any favoritism. So it would seem that the change was successful. I may not have been the perfect father in some other way, but I am glad that the issue of favoritism wasn't repeated."
And Scott Morgan tells us that he discovered the fullest joy of being a dad when he and Chris went to adopt their son Kai in China. "Once Chris and I decided to adopt, we knew we wanted both a boy and a girl, and going over there to retrieve him was the final realization of that dream. It wasn't the smoothest trip. There were plenty of frustrations. But there were sweet moments when we were all together and it all seemed right. I learned quite quickly that being a dad was a balance between enduring the difficult times and drinking in the wonderful times, and that's what it's all about. I became a father somewhat late in life, about 43, and I think this has helped in many ways. I'm so much more patient with myself and the kids, and I can see likelihoods before they happen, and I can devote myself to my kids with what they need. It's great being able to experience the world as a child again through their eyes, being fascinated with a bug, laughing hysterically at things that really aren't funny, and the excitement of being able to do something you couldn't do before. I cannot imagine being a dad of a few generations ago where they weren't much involved in the daily goings-on. At some point in time, those gentlemen had to feel they lost a great opportunity to really be a dad, for as much as that could mean. I'm really happy and I feel very lucky to be a big part of my children's lives."
Today we have focused on what seems to us to be new opportunities for men to experience the wide range of joy, frustration, fear, and love that comes with nurturing children. All the while, keeping in mind and honoring all fathers, no matter how involved or distant. Reverend Amy said of mothers, "Mothers aren't angels, guardian, or fallen." Well, fathers aren't saints or supermen. They are people, which makes their love, commitment, and sacrifice all the more precious. For every dad who has worked every extra shifts, taken a job he hated, gave up a job he loved, all for the love of a child, we pray. For every dad who did his best, we pray. For every dad who did his best, but his kids had problems anyway, we pray. For every dad who walked the floor with a wailing baby, got irped on, who sat through parent-teacher nights and pee-wee soccer games, we pray. For all the dads who did mom things and all the moms who did dad things, we pray. For those who prayed for peace and those who prayed because they could find no peace, we pray. For the ones who got it wrong, for the ones who got it right, we pray. For all the fathers and the Father in each of us, we pray. Happy Father's Day.
Now may the Spirit of love burn in our hearts today and every day. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing hymn 354. We laugh, we cry. Writer Clarence Buddington Kelland said, "My father didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it." Fathers, go out and let your children become who they are through your example of who you are. Let them know they can write their own scripts by watching you creatively and confidently live yours. Happy Father's Day, and blessed be.
Yes.